So, well, thanks actually to Dr. Mehta and Ms. Johnson for introducing the power of the internet and Google Trends. So that'll help me because I will skip a bunch of those kind of slides. And actually coming from a computing perspective, what I'm going to do is talk about a lot more about the methods. And along with the new kinds of data that is becoming available, I think the other power is that a whole set of new methods are emerging from the commercial domain to the government, you know, what DARPA is doing or Army is doing and so on. And I will introduce at least some of them and their potential for being used in this domain. So I think that should give you a bit of a complementary perspective. So this is the outline of my presentation. Promise of social media, I think you've already seen that from the previous talk. I will talk about a couple of case studies. The first one is not that much for online, but social media, but it really is about using new kinds of methods in just social networks within an organization. And this is with the work we did with Allina Health, which is quite prominent in Minnesota. Second actually is a very interesting one. Recently I visited, about 2 weeks ago, Tromsø, Norway. Really, it's about pretty much as far north as you can go without going to the Arctic Ocean, that is. It's inside the circle. And they are doing a very interesting sort of experiment because it being a country which is very large, but also has a very strong broadband connectivity, and they're using social media in a very interesting way. And in fact, one of the reasons I borrowed some slides from them was to talk about they specifically are looking at STD prevention. And finally, I will talk about some of the methods part of things, which is the social media analytics. Okay. All right. So this is just a picture. In fact, we had done some study a long time ago with CDC, with Ninad's group here. And actually, this just shows like a picture that is all that social media and huge amounts of data can be collected. And then you can analyze a lot of that. And then do various things in it. So basically, there's a sensing function, and then there can potentially be an actionability function. Okay. So now I will go into a little bit more details of you know what can we do with things like this. Okay. So here's an example. So this was a particular study set at Allina in the area of pain management, and they were interested in figuring out that what are the social networks of people and providers. And who are the people who are most referred to, who are the people who are most you know, sought after, and therefore, which are the ones to really go to, who are the go-to people. So here are some of the questions that were asked. So first question was, who do you routinely work with on pain management? And this was, you know, for people who, you know, in the ecology department, orthopedics, cardiac, and others. And in fact, you can see that these colors represent, you know, this was, by the way, to the providers themselves. Okay, so which other provider do you talk to? Okay, so you can see lots of clusters, but also some cross department and cross specialty connectivity. And then there's some stats at the bottom about what is the density and diameter and so on of these graphs. Okay, but here, and actually, I will not really go over the math, but here is an example of some new kinds of measures that are emerging. So what people are talking about nowadays, especially if you think about each of these circles as representing pages on the web, right? And links are the hyperlinks. In fact, so new kind of concepts are emerging. Like for every page, you can have measures called hits and authorities, or hubs and authorities, right? So hubs are those pages that point to lots of other popular pages, and authorities are pages that have a lot of high in degree, right? So these concepts came out about a decade ago in the context of the internet, especially, you know, the web, really. Now, we said, okay, let us apply these kind of measures to see, you know, so if you think about a link as, you know, person A, I, going to person J, or referring to a person J, right? So people who's being referred to very often are the authorities, and people who know lots of good referers are hubs. And this is what turned out. So you can see that, you know, for every person, and these are specific individuals, we went ahead and calculated the Harvard Authority scores, and this is sort of some of the ranking that comes out. There are many such things, but so for instance, here are some other questions like, who do you get new ideas, inspirations from to help your pain management efforts? And similarly, a similar analysis was done for them. And let's see, how does it, am I pointing in the right direction? Okay. A third question was, who would you like to work with in the future on pain management? So there was a question about the past, there were questions about who would you like to work with, and of course, who would like to work with has elements of, you know, who's an expert and also who you get along with, right? So of course, you know, even more nuanced questions can be asked. So some of the key findings is that key experts in pain management who are sought are the hospitalists and palliative care providers. Hospitalists always the most sought after in these nursing units. And one group that showed high connections but was not formally involved before in the pain management work was the spiritual care department. Okay? So you see, some of these are some of the interesting findings. That means you go ahead and even take standard survey-based data, then all of a sudden, you apply new techniques and new methodology, you can have some interesting findings. Okay. So now I'm going to present what our colleagues in Norway are doing, for example. Okay. So what they have done is something really interesting, I think, and it shows real potential. So here is the here's a picture of Norway, organized by the different provinces they have. Okay. And in fact, the one in Tromsø is somewhere up there in the north, okay? And here are some stats on chlamydia. And in fact, as you can see, it's pretty high as you go more to the north. Let me just click some of these things. Okay. All right. Again, the thing is that, you know, Norway being the kind of country it is, very long, literally about 3,000 kilometers from south to north, and very sparsely populated. And especially if you get to the northern reaches, they have long distances, very little connection between people. Often people don't have that high level of education either. But one thing that they have is very strong broadband connectivity. So this Institute of Telemedicine said, okay, well, let us see. I mean, in fact, that's one sort of their main existence reason. Okay, so that's the northern part. So what did they do? In fact, here are some more numbers. Especially specialized with 90% plus tests in women's are girls age 10 to 29, and 79% about 80% test plus tests in men are for boys between 10 to 29. Okay. So what is the aim? The aim is that to achieve that for the Norwegian youngsters in these two provinces of Troms and Finnmark, which are the northern two, how can social media be used for them to become more aware, and also how can it be for prevention, right? So both awareness and prevention. And basically the technique that was used was two very strongly emerging techniques called social media, of course, as well as something called gamification. So in fact, here are just some stats to show how many people are involved in sort of, playing games and in social media. Very, very high percentage, okay? Remember, especially Tromsø, the place I went to, they have a two-month period when there is no sun. So a lot of, activity at home. I went at a time when there was almost 24 hours of sun. So that was the flip side of it. Okay, so what did these people do? They actually created a game-style web application that includes social media aimed to promote a behavior change in youngsters regarding sort of sexual risk behavior. Okay? So here's a game that they built. Okay? You can have it on laptop, you can have it on iPhone, you can have it on iPad, all these things. And in fact, I guess if you go to use that QR thing, you can download it. Okay? You can see that the power of these things, you can just immediately make it available to everyone. So this is, they created this website, and they use things like YouTube and Facebook for recruiting people. In fact, they actually, in about a year ago, they had, they actually had a social media campaign, okay? Go to the virtual cinema and watch a film about what happens in your body when you have an orgasm, okay? So, and here is some data, I guess from one of the friends, that as soon as they had the social media campaign, then Facebook ad campaign, suddenly, usage of this went up, of the website, that is, okay? All right? So the bottom line is that you can use, it's a social media, it seems to be a promising way, in this case, particular case, since they were looking at Norwegian teenagers, good way to reach them, and rapid spread and low cost, of course. And secondly, because people are so involved in using internet applications, whether that happens to be Facebook, that happens to be, gamification. Again, gamification is a good one because people are using games as a means to sort of remain connected and socialize with each other. Okay, and so they're able to do it quite successfully, at least understand and set out the message. So the point was that once they built this whole system, they went to this whole application, they put out a Facebook kind of an ad, and they saw that the hits to their website, where they had all this information about what is happening to your body and what are the impacts and so on, the health implications, that went up. So clearly, that means that the education part is working. Now, of course, they're going to see if it eventually has some impact on the in terms of reduction, and but that's a much much harder challenge. Okay. So let me talk a little bit about the methodology side of it. Okay. So as I said, the first case study was applying new kinds of methods to classical survey data. The second one was new kinds of method collection, and at least here's an example of people having gone really far, building an entire game system for young people to have a look at. Okay. Now let me talk about the new kinds of analytics methods that are emerging. So I will talk a little bit from the commercial environment. As Inad said, I have some experience there, and also what are the kind of techniques that are being developed by different kinds of projects on social media by funded by agencies like DARPA and Army and so on. So this is kind of a busy slide, and I really don't want to go over that, but one of the key things in all of this is being able to identify who are the key influential people. Because tracking things like influence, who is trusting whom, and so on, is something that has become very useful and actually possible through social media. So in fact, here's an example of social retail. You can go to some e-commerce site like Levi's, and over there, you can sign up. In fact, lots of sites you see these days, you can sign up through Facebook, right? Give your Facebook ID and sign in, or Google Plus or something. What is called a social media sign-in. It makes your life easy, but also what it does is, really in this case, it allows that particular site to know a lot about your Facebook social circle. Okay? In fact, this is what potentially some organizations are doing with it. For instance, things like looking at people and figuring out what is the potential, like let us say from an e-commerce perspective, what e-commerce organizations are doing is saying, okay, how much money is this person spending, and how much of it is attributable to them, and how much is it because of someone else? So your social influence in e-commerce spend. Okay. Here's another kind of things that organizations like DARPA is more interested in. Two kind of measures. In fact, just look at the picture on the left-hand bottom. That given each person, you can figure out two things. So remember, like we talked about hubs scores and authority scores. People are talking in terms of the ability to be influenced, that is influenceability, and the ability to influence, that is, so things like A to I is ability to influence, and A to BI is ability to be influenced. So now people are talking, this not just abstract influence, but they're saying, how much influence does someone have? Okay. just a minute, and you know how much someone can be influenced. And in fact, you know, based on all this kind of stuff, people have developed things like you know, matrix algorithms to compute things like this. In fact, let me just show you one example, and then kind of I'll stop. In fact, let's look at this one. So here was a study that was done with the Twitter data from Sandy Hurricane. And what was found was that by analyzing a network from who are people who are very influential and who are people who get easily influenced, one could find what are the vulnerabilities in the network. That means if there's a person who's highly influential and there's another person who can be easily influenced, that means that particular connection is something through which information can flow or trust can flow very rapidly. Okay. So we did this whole analysis, and what we found was that you could easily identify which are the paths in the network through which rumors can spread very easily. Okay? And in fact, a specific example, you see that picture over there on the left-hand side, this was a famous hoax of sharks being seen in New Jersey. Okay? This spread through the whole Twitter network very fast. And in fact, this algorithm was able to identify how did it go. So the point is, now what you can do is you can, if you can identify, if you can take, do some Twitter studies, for example, and identify a network, who are the key influencers, who are the easily influenced, and therefore what are the vulnerable paths, you can put in things like, you know, some people to monitor those who are, you know, highly influential, see if what they're spreading, is it correct, is it not correct. So think of it as things like network inoculations. So these are the kind of things that, you know, new kinds of methods and new kinds of techniques that are being developed and various agencies that are interested in. And back to this whole picture, that really there is, you know, a lot of data that is being collected, people are spending lots of time, and many of these different kinds of techniques are coming out. And I think there's a huge potential in being able to both sense what is going on and then being able to act on that. Thank you.